Blog Talk Radio.
The wife of a pastor. Her name is Miranda, and she wrote that song. The Lord led her to write that song because of the way she had been treated, because of the way she had been judged, and the way she felt about her appearance. And so she wanted to encourage others, other young women, about not comparing themselves to others, and being content with the way that the Lord created them, that they are beautiful the way they are. The Lord created each of us as we are for his purpose. And so however you are, whatever you look like, you are unique and you are loved by the Lord. He created you for himself, to bring glory to himself. He knows where you are and what your needs are. He knows what we need before we need it. and he is with us. No matter what's going on in our lives, we can always come to him. He says that he will provide for our every need. Although he doesn't promise to give us everything that we want, he will provide for our needs. And whatever hardships we are going through, he is with us. Sometimes we may think that he isn't there, that he's forgotten us. But when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and become children of God, he will never leave us. He tells us over and over again in the Bible that he will never leave us nor forsake us. He's a loving Father. God is a loving Father. He loves all of us. He hates our sin, but he loves us. And he wants all of us to be with him in heaven one day. But we have a choice to make. We need to decide if we want to be with him or not. If we choose to receive him as Savior, if we trust that Jesus Christ is the Lord, that he is the beginning and the end, he tells us he is, that he is the Alpha and the Omega. There is no other God besides him. Jesus came and died on the cross. As Christians, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we do believe that he is God. That he came to earth as God in the flesh. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is one with God. He came to earth and lived as a man, the God-man. He suffered and died on the cross and paid the debt for all of our sins. He was our substitute. And God took out his wrath on him. God paid the price for our sins himself to set us free so that we would not have to suffer the wrath of God. Because God has to punish sin. He is a holy God. He cannot look on sin. And if he didn't punish sin, he wouldn't be a just God. He wouldn't be God, would he? And so we don't have to suffer for our sins. We need to repent of our sins. When we commit new sins, we need to confess them directly to God and ask for forgiveness. We only need to ask. He says when we confess our sins, he forgives us. When we repent of our sins and walk with God and follow him, if we commit to obey him, to do his will, to get up every day with that in mind, because again, we have free will. He gave us a choice. We have the choice to obey him or disobey him. And of course, if we live our lives contrary to the will of God and always disobey him and forget about him, and don't confess our sins, don't repent of our sins, then we're not walking with God. And he says in the Bible, if we're not walking with him, we're not going to be with him. If we're not born again and following him, following Jesus, because Jesus is the way. He's the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. He is the only way to the Father and the only way to heaven. And if we're not walking with him, then we're against him. So each of us has to make that choice. That's what this show is about the gospel message, about salvation, about the love and grace and mercy, the favor, the forgiveness of God, the salvation that Jesus Christ came to give for us, the fact that he paid the debt for our sins so that we can be with him in heaven. Jesus came to make disciples. He called people to repent, called us to repent of our sins, to confess our sins, to turn away from them and to follow Jesus, and to tell other people about him. Once we are saved, he doesn't take us home to be with him in heaven right away because he wants us to be here to serve him. He tells us we are his hands and feet here in the world. We are to serve him. By serving others, by helping others, by teaching others about him, teaching others that they can be saved too. And we're to raise our children to know him and not leave them to the opinions and the teachings of other people in the world, of the philosophies of men. Do you have people that you love parents, siblings, aunts, uncles, cousins, your grandparents, your friends? Who are the people that you love? Your neighbors? People with whom you work? People, those people with whom you socialize? Are they people that you love? If they are, don't you want to know that you will see them in eternity? If you yourself want to go to heaven and be with God and live with him forever instead of being separated from him in hell, whatever you think hell might be, it's separation from God for all eternity and pain and suffering. Don't you want to spare them from that? Will you tell other people about God? If you have already received them, don't be afraid. Sometimes it can be very difficult to talk to other people about God. Some people are afraid to say the name of Jesus. It can be very difficult to talk to people, especially family members. Sometimes it's much easier to speak to a stranger. They don't know you. They don't know us and our weaknesses. But God will give us the words. He said before he left, he would send his Holy Spirit to be with us, to be our teacher, our comforter, and our guide, and that he will teach us, and he will give us the words to speak at the moment we need them. I encourage you to tell somebody else, if you've received Jesus as your Savior, if you know the Lord, I encourage you to share your testimony, tell your story to someone else, and encourage them. Let them know about those things that you have been through in life. All the hardships and disappointments? Have you suffered illness of some kind? Have you suffered the loss of a job? The loss of people you love? Are your parents still alive? Have you lost siblings or friends? Have you lost a spouse? Those things are very difficult to deal with. They're so painful, and it can take a very long time to get through the grieving process, whether you're grieving for someone whom you loved and who has died, or if you're grieving the loss of your career, your finances, your home. Have you lost a home? Whatever that might be, it's very difficult. And there are many stages to the grieving process. We don't get past that overnight. It can take a great deal of time. As a matter of fact, I know someone, a young woman, who's grieving the loss of her father. And before I go any further, I want to share a scripture. It's one of my favorites, really. And then I'd like to talk about a friend, Claire, who is grieving right now the loss of someone she loved. And she's away from home. So right now, I want to tell you about one of my favorite scriptures in the book of Hebrews, and it talks about the grace and mercy of God, actually the throne of God. God is so loving and good to us. It's in Hebrews. If you have a Bible, I hope you'll open up to it. I'll be reading from the Bible later on in the show also. But right now, I'm going to read from Hebrews 4:16. I'll give you a chance to get your Bibles if you have one and to look it up. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, it's Hebrews 4:16. Actually, let me start with a verse before that. Are you ready? Have you found the place? Hebrews 4:16. Okay, here we go. Hebrews, I'm going to start at 15. Actually, let's go to 14, because it talks about how Jesus can relate to us. In Hebrews 4:14, it says, "Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I love that verse. Again, that's Hebrews 4:16. And some versions, it will say, let us therefore draw boldly or come boldly to the throne of grace. It means the same thing. And God is saying we can come any time to ask him for grace and mercy when we need help. And he is always there for us. He's always there for his children. Have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you become a child of God? He tells us in the Bible, when we receive Jesus as our Savior, then he gives us the right to become children of God. Then we become heirs of Christ to the kingdom of God. With Jesus, we become heirs with Jesus to the kingdom of God. And we don't need to compare ourselves, as Miranda sang in her song, we don't need to compare ourselves and wish that we were as pretty, as beautiful, or as handsome, or as thin, or whatever, as someone else. God loves us the way we are. He loves us the way we are. So we don't need to compare to anyone else. And we all suffer different things in this life, different troubles, problems, and circumstances and situations. But one thing is for sure, just as each one of us is born into this life, each one of us is going to die one day. We all suffer losses. We will all lose people that we love. All of us will have people who die and leave us behind. By the grace of God, we can be saved if our loved ones are saved, if they have become born again in Christ Jesus before they die, before they leave this earth, then we can know that they will be with him in heaven. We can be relieved. And so now I'd like to talk about my friend Claire, whom I mentioned earlier. Claire is visiting the United States from Johannesburg, from South Africa. She's here to visit the Bible College, the Calvary Chapel Bible College in Murrieta Hot Springs in California. Her trip had been planned in advance, of course. She'd bought her tickets some time ago. She was blessed by a cousin who sponsored her and provided her with the ticket. So she's come and visited the college and is making arrangements for the future, hoping to become a student at Murrieta Bible College. And she's asking the Lord for help because, of course, she needs the finances to do that. Knowing she came on her trip, knowing that her father was very ill, had lost half of his body weight, but her trip had been planned long in advance, as I said. And so she came asking the Lord, putting her father and her in the Lord's hands, knowing and having great concern for him, knowing that he had not received the Lord as his Savior. But after she arrived here, she received a message from her pastor back home in Johannesburg that her father, he was going to have a meeting with her father. He'd agreed to see him. So he visited him in the hospital. Her pastor is Pastor Chad Nochtaborn. He's a missionary and is the pastor of the church at which Claire worships in Johannesburg, Calvary Chapel of Johannesburg. So he visited with her father, and he prayed to receive the Lord. He gave his heart to the Lord just a few days ago. It may not have been more than a week. And so a couple of days ago, her mother had transferred her father to a hospice facility. If you're not familiar with hospice care, a hospice facility is a place where patients are are taken to live out their days because they're not expected to live generally more than 6 months. And so they're made as comfortable as they can possibly be with loving people, attentive caregivers to take care of them for as long as they live here. And during the night, night before last, excuse me, I have a frog in my throat. Excuse me. During the night, I received an email from my friend Claire telling me that her father had passed. But she said that in her email. She said that she was relieved knowing that he is no longer suffering pain and that he's in heaven with the Lord. So she has that assurance, and she's very grateful for that. I wonder if you know anyone who's ill at the moment. Do you know someone who is in the process of dying of cancer as Claire's father was? A relative, a friend, a neighbor? Maybe you have a friend who has a family member who's very ill with some type of disease or has been injured in some way and their life is hanging in the balance. Do you share with that person about the Lord if that person is not saved, has not been born again? Do you think you could do that? Jesus says that he enables us to do everything he calls us to do, whatever he puts on our heart to do. And he wants us to tell other people about him so that they can be saved, so that they can be with him in heaven and not be separated from him for all eternity and suffering in hell. I think it's safe to say that people who wind up in hell will suffer. But we know that if we receive Jesus Christ as Savior, we who are believers in Jesus Christ, who believe that he is the Lord God, those of us who are followers of Jesus Christ, we believe, we know that we will be with him in heaven one day and that we are to tell other people about him because Jesus loves all of us. He hates our sin, but he loves us. God is a loving Father, and he wants us to be with him in heaven one day. The Lord also wants us to share our testimonies, our stories. Do you have an interesting story? Whether it's interesting or boring, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have come through trouble and hard times and are now stronger and better for it, if the Lord has brought you through pain and suffering, trying ordeals, really tough times, and brokenness, have you been in a place where things were so bad or you felt so low that you thought, well, things can't get any worse? If you've been in a place like that and you could not help yourself and the only thing that you could do was cry out to God, whether you believed in him or not, maybe you were one of those people who said, God, if you're real, help me. Don't you see me here? So many of us have done that. If you've had that experience, do you know that you could really encourage someone else by letting them know that there is still hope? That there is hope as long as we are breathing. Jesus Christ is our hope. The Lord God is a loving God, and he is our hope. If we put our faith, our hope, and our trust in him, we can't go wrong. But if we go on in life continually trying to do everything on our own and continually falling on our face, we need to make a change. And that's what Jesus calls us to do, to repent. To repent means to make a change, to turn around from our futile ways, from our sinful ways, to turn around and go the other direction and follow after the Lord Jesus Christ, putting our faith, our hope, and our trust in him, depending on him to provide for us, to take care of us. We have to do our own part, but there's nothing we can do to win our way to heaven or buy our way to heaven. We can never gain enough credits or merits to get to heaven on our own. We need Jesus. We need a Savior. And once we come to the point where we can admit that and ask Jesus to be our Savior, then we get a fresh start. We get a fresh start. We get to start over and leave the old life behind. And Jesus tells us that when we receive him as Savior, when we are born again, we are made new in him. We are made new creations in Christ Jesus. That Jesus redeems us. He saves us. He washes away our sins. And he makes us righteous in him. God makes us righteous in Christ Jesus. We can never be righteous on our own, but we take on the righteousness of Christ because he died on the cross to pay the debt for our sins. He pays our debt. He has paid our debt. Jesus died to pay the debt for all of our sins that we've ever committed and all those that we ever will commit. But once we receive him as Savior, we need to make a change, ask him to change us. And he will do that. He will do that. And I'm not saying that it's easy. In fact, it's very difficult because there's someone who's working against us, of course, the enemy of God, Satan, the devil, the evil one. He's real. He's not a fictitious character. Satan is pure evil. As good as God is, Satan is evil. And he doesn't want us to be in heaven with God. He wants to destroy us. That's why he's working so hard here in the world. He's a spirit. And he is behind all of the attempts to break up marriages, to break up families, to wreak evil and havoc in the world. All of those things that happen are done by evil influence. Satan can't make us do anything, but he is the one who tempts us. He is the one who puts temptations to sin in our minds. But again, we have a choice. God gave us free will. We can choose to do right or to do wrong. And so there's no middle ground there. There's no gray area. Things are either right or wrong. If we choose to do what's wrong, then we're against God and following evil. We're following Satan. That's literally what happens. If we're not following God, if we're not following the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the only way, then we fall to going the other way, which is following Satan. Jesus Christ is love. He's a God of love and forgiveness, and he forgives us our sins. We only have to ask. If you have a Bible, again, I hope you'll get it ready and tell someone else if they would like to hear. We're going to be reading from the Bible in a few minutes. And if any of you who are listening, if anyone is listening, I hope that you will keep my friend Claire in prayer for Claire. Would you pray for Claire and for her mother and for their friend Marielle and all of their loved ones as they're grieving for Claire's father who has passed away? They're grieving for themselves because they're going to miss him. Of course, we grieve for ourselves, the loss of people we love, because they're no longer going to be in our lives here on earth and we're going to miss them. But she is relieved that she knows he's no longer suffering and that he's in heaven, and as I said earlier. And so that's a praise report. That is a praise report. And he's going to be at peace with God in heaven, and he will never be suffering in pain again. There is no cancer and no tears in heaven. You've probably heard that many times. I wonder if you believe it. If you are a believer, I wonder how you learned about the Lord Jesus Christ. Were you born into a family, a Christian family? Did you grow up knowing about the Lord, reading the Bible, praying at home? Or did someone tell you about it as you became older? And is that how you heard about the Lord and received him? Whatever the case, I'd like you to think about that and think about how you can share with someone else and encourage them by telling them your story. I know that the Lord has led me to share my testimony because someone else needs to hear it. And I mentioned that to a couple of people. I did share my testimony with someone, and the first person with whom I shared my testimony was really touched and said that she knew that was from the Lord. She believed that the Lord wanted us to share our stories because he wanted us to connect on a deeper level, on a deeper spiritual level. And so we actually encouraged each other. Just a few days ago, my pastor at church told me about a man who has a program on YouTube. His name is Larry. He is a pastor, Pastor Larry. And even though he doesn't have all of the equipment that he needs, doesn't have the best equipment, he's obeying the Lord by giving his testimony, sharing with people, and telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And all I can tell you is that his name is Larry. He's Pastor Larry. He's on YouTube. And my pastor suggested that I should give my testimony, and I will do that whenever I can connect with Pastor Larry or someone else who is making it possible for people to share their testimonies. I did hear Pastor Larry giving his testimony, and he's encouraging other people, talking about the dire circumstances he was in, but how God saved him regardless. So that now he has actually become a pastor and is telling other people about the Lord, and that's what we're supposed to do. He saved us so that we can encourage others, tell other people about him, so that they too can be saved. Because Jesus came calling people to repentance. So did John the Baptist. Jesus came and made disciples. He trained people, taught them to teach others about him and how they can be saved and help others, who will still tell others in return about Jesus, so that as many people as possible can be with the Lord in heaven when they die. And again, we have a choice. The choice is ours, to receive Jesus or to reject him. And he tells us, he is the only way to the Father. He is the only way to heaven. Have you thought much about that? I don't know if you have. I'd like to read something else. Here is a prayer by Pastor Charles Stanley, and I may not read exactly every word for word, but this is taken from a book of the Bible, Ephesians 6:10-20. It talks about putting on the whole armor of God. This is a prayer that Pastor Charles Stanley of In Touch Ministries has written, and you can make up your own prayer with it. Just be sure to include the words of the Bible without changing anything. So you can read Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 20 for yourself. But this is a prayer you could read as a good morning prayer. And as I say, you can make your own prayer, of course. And so here, let me read this. It starts by saying, "Good morning, Lord. Thank you for assuring me of victory today if I will follow your will. So by faith, I claim victory over," and there's a blank so that you can put in the blank whatever you want to claim victory over. And I would suggest fear, because that encompasses so much. Fear, anxiety, worry, doubt, denial, and deceit. So I would say, so by faith, I claim victory over fear. Fear of failure, and also fear of success, which can be frightening. Fear of failure, fear of success, apprehension. The fear of failing at things that God might call us to do, and the fear that God might call us to do something that we don't want to do. But then, of course, God's way is always the best way. He knows the best. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow and a year from now, but we don't. So So it's best to do things God's way. So it says, so by faith I claim victory over fear, anxiety, worry, doubt, denial, and deceit, over pridefulness, selfishness, self-centeredness, over procrastination, whatever you would like to say in there that you know is a problem for you that you need to overcome, listed in that blank. And so then it goes on to say, to prepare myself for the battle ahead, and that's the spiritual battle, the war between good and evil, to prepare myself for the battle ahead, by faith, dear God, I put on the belt of truth, the truth about you, Lord God, that you are the sovereign God who knows everything about me, both my strengths and my weaknesses. Lord, you know my breaking point, and you have promised not to allow me to be tempted beyond that I'm able to bear. The truth about me, Lord, is that I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. And I have been set free from the power of sin. I am indwelt with the Holy Spirit who will guide me and warn me whenever danger is near. I am your child, and nothing can separate me from your love. The truth is that you have a purpose for me this day, someone to encourage, someone to share with, someone to love. Next, Lord, I want to, by faith, put on the breastplate of righteousness through which I will guard my heart and my emotions. I will not follow my heart to attach itself to anything that is impure. I will not allow my emotions to rule my decisions. I will set them on what is right and good and just. I will live today by what is true, not by what I feel. Dear Lord, this morning I put on the sandals of the gospel of peace. I'm available to you, Lord. Send me where you will. Guide me to those who need encouragement or physical help of some kind. Use me to solve conflicts wherever they may arise. Make me a calming presence in every circumstance in which you place me. I will not be hurried nor rushed, for my schedule is in your hands. I will not leave a trail of of confusion or apprehension. I will leave tracks of stability and peace wherever I go. Now, Lord, I take up the shield of faith, Lord. My faith is in you and you alone, Lord Christ Jesus. Apart from you, I can do nothing. With you, I can do all things. No temptation that comes my way can penetrate your protecting helmet, your protecting hand. I will not be afraid, for you are going with me throughout this day. When I am tempted, I will claim my victory out loud ahead of time, for you have promised victory to those who walk in obedience to your will. So by faith I claim victory, even now, because I know that there are fiery darts headed my way, even as I pray. Dear Lord, you already know what they are, and you have provided the way of escape for me. Lord, by faith, I'm putting on the helmet of salvation. You know how Satan bombards my mind day and night with evil thoughts, doubts, and fear. I put on this helmet which will guard my mind, my mouth, and my ears. I may feel the impact of his attacks, but nothing can penetrate this helmet. I choose to stop every impure and negative thought at the door of my mind, and with the helmet of salvation, those thoughts will get no further. I elect you to take every thought captive. I take each and every thought captive unto the obedience of Christ Jesus. I will dwell on nothing but what is good and pure and pleasing to you. Last, dear Lord God, I take up the sword of the Spirit, which is your word, the Holy Scriptures. Thank you, Lord, for the power of your word. It is strong and powerful and able to defeat even the strongest of Satan's onslaughts. Your word, Lord God, your Holy Scriptures, the Bible, says that I am not under obligation to the flesh to obey its lusts. So by faith I take up the powerful sword of the Spirit, which is able to defend me in time of attack, comfort me in time of sorrow, and teach me in time of meditation, and prevail against the power of the enemy on behalf of others who need the truth to set them free. So, Lord, I thank you for the armor of God, and I go rejoicing that you have chosen me, that you have chosen to use me, Lord, to represent you to this lost and dying world. May others see Jesus in me, and may Satan and his host shudder as your power is made manifest in me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, as I said, I didn't read that word for word as it was written. I added a couple of words here and there on my own because I do pray this as a prayer, my morning prayer. And the Lord encourages us here, again telling us there is always hope. And so I'm encouraging you to tell someone your testimony because I know that Jesus is Lord. And I know that I used to live all of my days and nights in fear. And for most of my life, I was angry with the Lord because I blamed him for my mother's illness, for the illnesses of my mother and father, and for all of their struggles in life, all of the pain and suffering of my parents, which affected our families. And I was ashamed to be who I was. I never wanted to be who I was. I wished I'd been born into another family, and I was ashamed of that. And I felt guilt for that, for feeling that way, but that is how I felt. And I lived with such fear and guilt and shame. And I was always afraid of loss. Always afraid that I would never have enough of what I needed. There was a time when I was afraid of being homeless. There was a time when I was afraid of dying of illness. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever fallen into the problems that are caused by fear and doubt? Have you ever felt down and depressed or terribly lonely? Have you ever felt deserted, abandoned, betrayed? Whatever the case might be in your own life, once you come through that, and only the Lord can bring us through those things, then you can encourage someone else who's suffering the same thing. So that's why I encourage you to share your testimony. Share your testimony, share your story, and tell someone else how you came through that. Did you come through it all on your own, or do you realize that God helped you? I know that God helped me. I know that God has been working in my life all my life, but I didn't always see it. I grew up in church. I prayed morning, noon, and night. I prayed constantly. I prayed constantly because I was always afraid. I was always calling on God. I was always terrified and always confessing my sins over and over and over again, asking for forgiveness. And I was always, as I said, terrified, wondering if I would go to heaven. I never knew that I could be assured that I could go to heaven. I thought if I died with even a little sin on my soul, I wouldn't go to heaven. I'd have to pay for my sins somewhere before I could go to heaven, and I would be dependent on other people praying for me. But we make our choices now. There are no pit stops on the way to heaven. The Lord tells us to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. When we die, we go to be with Jesus. We go to be with God when we die. We don't have to pay for any unconfessed sins after we die. It's too late once we die. We need to be right with the Lord before we die. Then we go to be with God in heaven when we die. Will you share that with your friends, with your families, with those people whom you love? There are so many people who need assurances, who need faith, who need comfort. They're just burdened down and suffering. But if someone could come along and encourage them, their lives could be so much richer. Even if their physical lives don't change drastically, immediately, There's having faith to know that there is hope for the future and that God loves us. He wants us to be with him in heaven. He's paid the debt for our sins. And that there is hope. God is with us. We just need to call out to him. He's always here. He's always here with us. He gives us hope for the future. There is grace and mercy and favor with God. He is a good and loving Father, and he wants to take all of us to heaven with him when we die. All of those things that we suffer here are preparation and training for the future, for eternity, when we go to be with God in heaven. If you have your Bibles, I hope you'll read along with me. Did you find your Bible? Did you get it out? Do you have it ready? Did you tell someone else that they can hear the Word of God and follow along with it and be encouraged? Are you thinking about someone you could encourage? Is there someone you could call right now and invite to read along with us or to listen and hear the Word of God? Someone whom you know could really be helped by it? I hope you're going to read along or just listen. Let's say a short prayer and ask the Lord. We should always come to the Lord with a clean heart, a clean conscience. And so I want to pray and ask the Lord. Dear God, I ask you to forgive us of our sins and wash us clean, whiter than snow. If there's any sin in our hearts, Lord God, please bring it to our minds so that we can confess it and ask for your forgiveness. Lord, I ask you to please help us understand your holy scriptures and apply them to our daily lives. Please protect us, Lord God, from all these other voices that would like to interfere and trip us up, Lord, from the voices of Satan and his evil minions, from the voices of the world and the philosophies of men, from the voice of our own sinful human nature, Lord God, from our own pridefulness, selfishness, and self-centeredness. Please help us, Lord. Again, I ask you to help us to understand your holy scriptures and apply them to our daily lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you, Father. I'm going to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, because the Lord tells us in 5:17 that we become new creations in Christ Jesus. So I want to share that tonight. It's not very long. I hope you'll read along with me. And so again, dear Lord, I ask you to please help us understand your holy scriptures and apply them to our daily lives. And now let's read 2 Corinthians 5. This is chapter 5. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. That's verse 7. Remember that 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that's verse 7. I'll read that again. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. That was verse 8. Now going on with verse 9. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God, and I also trust, are well known in your consciences. For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God, or if we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Now I'm at verse 16. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16 now. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh. Yet now we know him, thus no longer. And here now is verse 17, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. If you've never heard that before, I'm glad you listened in. I hope you will read it again. If you know someone else who needs to hear it, everyone needs to hear it. If you know someone who has not received Jesus as Savior, would you share that with them? If you have not received Jesus Christ as your Savior, excuse me, I invite you to say this short prayer with me, to ask Jesus into your heart to be your Savior so that you can be assured that you can be with him in heaven. Will you say this prayer? Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner, that I have sinned, and I repent of my sins. I know I need a Savior. I understand that to repent means to make a change, to turn around and go the other way. And I choose to turn around away from my sins and to follow you, Lord Jesus. I ask you to please forgive me for my sins. I'm trusting by faith, Lord Jesus, that you are God, that you died on the cross to pay the debt for my sins, that you rose again from the dead, that you were resurrected by God the Father, that you sit at his right hand in heaven, and that you live not only there, but in the hearts of all those who receive you as Savior and who follow you in the Christian life. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. Save me, Lord Jesus. I want to be with you in heaven. If you prayed that prayer earnestly from your heart, then you can know that you will be with Jesus in heaven. Now what you should do, not that there's anything required of you to be saved, because it's a gift from God and you just receive that. That's the only way to get it, to receive it by grace through faith we are saved, to receive it by faith from God. And so now, since you choose to follow the Lord Jesus, to be a follower of Christ Jesus, a Christian, then you should join a church that teaches the word of Christ Jesus, the word of God, directly from the Bible. You should read it every day and do what it says. You should join a Bible study and study the Bible along with other people who are drawing closer to the Lord. That's how we grow in our relationship with Him and develop a strong, personal, intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it's not belonging to a church, any particular denomination, that's going to get us to heaven. It's trusting by faith that Jesus Christ is Lord, believing, trusting in Him that He died on the cross to pay the debt for our sins, that He rose again, that He is in heaven at the right hand of God, and also in the hearts of those who receive Him as Savior. It's believing in Him, having that relationship with Him and serving Him, and telling others about Him, telling them how they can be saved, that they need to confess their sins directly to God and ask Him to forgive them. They need to repent of their sins, which means to make a change, to be willing to let God change them from the inside out, to turn away from their sins and to follow Him. Pray to God every day from your heart. Praying to God is talking to Him. Unburden your heart to God. Stop committing the sins you've done before. You can do that with the help of God. You need to step out and make the change, make the effort. He knows we're still going to commit sins because we're human, but we need to confess our sins as soon as we know that we've sinned and ask Him to forgive us and make a fresh start, start over again, just as He made us fresh and new, new creations in Christ Jesus when we received Him as Lord and Savior. That's what you are now if you say that prayer, if you've become born again in Christ Jesus. So I encourage you to tell other people your story. Tell them your testimony. Tell them what you've done. You've received Jesus as Savior, and tell them how He works in your life. And be on guard, because Satan will come to attack us. As I said, Satan is the enemy of God. The evil that happens in the world is done by people who misuse their free will to do evil instead of good. It is not God's fault. We make choices here. We need to choose to do good instead of doing evil. And so I thank you again for tuning in. You're listening to the Sword and Shield Show. I'm Catherine, your host, and I hope you'll listen in every Thursday from 7 to 8 p.m. Until next time, may you know the love, the peace, and the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you again. Bye for now. Once more, until you tune in again, I pray that the Lord Jesus Christ will fill you to overflowing with His Holy Spirit, that you will tell other people about Jesus and ask others to listen to the Sword and Shield Show on blogtalkradio.com. I'm Catherine Resendez. Thank you so much, and may God bless you.